الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة The kitab I have in front of me, the name is Dajjali Fitna. Dajjali fitne ke numaya khat wa khal, meaning taking out the strands of every fitna which Dajjal will put in the world. The author is Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Munazir Ahsal Gailani Rahimullah, who was one of the famous students of Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimullah. And from this book, a lot of points I have taken in trying to get an understanding of Dajjal. And a lot has been mentioned already. And as mentioned previously, now we will try to concentrate more on the fitna of Dajjal and leave out the person himself. As we explained, and as has been proven from the ahadith, that Dajjal is a fitna or a person, a being that is already there. He was seen by the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Tamim Dari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ithbat, mentioned that what he is saying is 100% correct, meaning he is there already. What was his life before that? Meaning who put him there? Why did he come there? What did he do before that? That is a separate subject on its own. And in there is a lot of lessons, and there is a lot of things that could help in understanding the fitna of Dajjal, but that won't be our topic now. And thereafter, what or when will he be released from that island and come into the world? That is also a thing which is mukhtalafi, meaning different people will have different views. Everyone accepts that he is there. It could be that he is there, and like how Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu met him, and he was able to tell him certain things. So many other people, are, as they're going past, they're being brought to the island, like how they were brought to the island. And then in that manner, he is managing to spread his fitna around the world. Because what is accepted by practically all today is what we see around us is called the fitna of Dajjal. So somehow or the other, what has been mentioned in the ahadith, he is managing to bring it in the world. Either they are meeting him on the island, or perhaps many others will not accept this, but it's a possibility also, and a big possibility, and there are many indications towards it, that if it's not taken, that Dajjal will have exactly 40 days on earth. But the word 40 is taken to mean 40 periods. And there are certain indication in the ahadith towards this also, that it will be periods more than days. Then if that meaning is taken, then it will be like a 40 different periods of the existence of Dajjal on the surface of the earth in the form of a man, then which time will he be released to start that 40-day period? That will be something questionable. When did it start? When will it start? Has he already come out from the island? When will he come out if he has not come out? If he comes out, in whose form will he be? Will he take the form of Ibn Sayyad? Will he take some other form? Has he already taken that form? So that is something also, that he has been out or he will one day come out. But so much is accepted that somehow or the other, he is managing to spread what is known as the fitna of Dajjal. So to understand that Surah Kahf, where it was mentioned that make sure you will read it to be protected from his fitna, it was not speaking to only the people at the end of times, but it was speaking to every single person who will see the fitna numaya open in front of him. And then in Quran there is certain thing called tafsir, which has its own meaning. For a tafsir you have to have directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the indicated meaning explanation, or from Sahaba radiallahu anhu what they said regarding it. And that is the asal of Quran tafsir, and no one can move out of tafsir. Thereafter, for Quran to speak to every individual in every phase of life till the day of Qiyamah, because Quran was revealed to speak to every single person. So for Quran to speak to every single person, there is something called the ishara of Quran, the indications of Quran, that Quran has indicated towards this. In this verse, Quran is indicating towards that. And through that indication, then man sees that my Allah is speaking to me at the moment. I am going through this difficulty. Here's the answer. That is called ishara of the Quran, and that is also musallam, accepted by the ulama. What will be mentioned from now, where Surah Kahf will speak about the fitna of Dajjal, should be taken as isharat of Quran. It will not be taken as a tafsir, but rather as ishara. That in this verse, there's an indication towards this fitna, and this is the answer. In this verse, an indication to that fitna, and this is the answer. As a muqaddama to his kitab, the author has mentioned certain points which we will go through, and inshallah thereafter in the future we will start. Certain things what he has mentioned, I will mention. Certain things from my own side, I will be mentioning. So he starts his kitab and he says, it has come in the famous books of ahadith, that any person who wishes to protect himself from the evil, the fitna, the exam, the test of Dajjal, then the beginning few verses of Surah Kahf, or the last few verses of Surah Kahf, and in some narrations even the beginning and last is not mentioned, it's just mentioned a few verses, which means most likely 10 verses of Surah Kahf. Other narrations have mentioned if it is done on the day of Jummah, then these verses will protect a person from the fitna of Dajjal. If it is read any day, he will get that virtue. And if he has to read it on the day of Jummah, which has always been the amal of the akabir, of the pious people of the ummah, and which should be the amal of every single person, then certain ahadith has mentioned special extra virtue for that person. Amongst them is that that person who reads at least 10 verses, so from that Jummah till the next Jummah, he will remain encircled by a certain light, nur. Other narrations have mentioned from that Jummah till the next Jummah, whatever sins he does, Allah tabaraka ta'ala will wipe it out. Certain narrations have mentioned any house in which Surah Kahf is recited, then the shayateen will not enter that house. And like this, there are many others. Certain has mentioned he reads the whole Surah, then from the skies till the earth, he will be surrounded by a light. And if it is 10 verses from head to foot, around his entire body, a certain light will come. Trying to show that the fitna of Dajjal will be more darkness. Darkness attacking the body, darkness attacking the mind. And light will be able to repel it. And the power of Quran is unique. That in front of whatever we see as powerful, the weapons of this country, and the technology of that country, then one verse of Quran is sufficient to break it all. Only that person will find this power who reads it with that yaqeen. So he mentions about 10 verses of Surah Kahf, what and what it can do for a person. Thereafter he mentions that everything should be kept in the back of a person's mind, what has been mentioned in different ahadith, some very strong ahadith, some slightly weaker, regarding what the Dajjal will bring. And then as a khulasa of that, there is a summary he starts mentioning. He says the first thing to be understood is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned what the Dajjal will bring, It doesn't have to be taken in its exact haqiqi meaning, meaning exactly as the words I mentioned. Because there are certain indications in every narration that it will not be exactly as I am saying it. But it will be in a different surah that when man will see it one day, he will understand it. And really now when we are seeing it, was this really meant or will something else be meant? There is also something we can never say. Perhaps in 30, 40, 100 years time, people will see it again and say, this was meant by the hadith, not what the people of the past thought. So certain things with Sahaba radiallahu anh, in their mind, there was no way of putting a surah, a picture. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use certain words which would give them an understanding, and they would then present that words to the ummah. So that later on a time will come, a man will see it and he will say, this was really what my Nabi intended. Amongst that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the times of Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal, one will be space and time will be brought very, very close as though it is nothing. Space meaning a vast distance, traveling from one area to another area, will become a very small distance, as though it is sifar, there is no distance between the two. In that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned words regarding the power of Dajjal, that when he will want to move himself, كَالْغَيْثِ إِسْتَدْبَرَتْهُ الرِّيحِ, he will move so fast as though the rain is coming and wind is blowing it. And as you see that rain just moving, and how fast, vast distances is covering. So he mentioned how far he will go. And which places he will enter, he showed his taqat and his power. The different countries of the world, every khitta, every area, every village, every location, which comes in the hadith, فَلَا أَدْعُ قَرْيَةً إِلَّا حَبَتْتُهَا فِي أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا. In the period of 40 nights, I will be able to set foot on every single area. Other hadiths have mentioned, إِلَّا دَخَلَهَا رُعْبُ الدَّجَّالِ. The awe, the fitna, the evil, the power of Dajjal will enter that area. So whether he himself will go, ulama mentioned whether his armies will go. But every single place, except for four places in the world, he will be able to take over. Regarding space, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, yunadi bi sawtihi yasma'uhu bihi ma bayn al khafiqain. That when he will speak, he will be so loud his voice that between the east and the west, whoever is there will be able to hear him talking. And these are things that in our present times we are now seeing it. We are not seeing Dajjal speaking, but we are seeing the movement of many, many from one side to the other very, very fast. And the question should come then, how come people are moving so fast when it was mentioned this will be the power of Dajjal to move so fast? So as we had mentioned previously, Imam Yusuf bin Nuri rahimullah, he mentioned that it will not be that this will be a special power for him, but it will be something that is arm prevalent with everyone around him also. It will be the sign of his zamana. And others have mentioned that when it's called the fitna of Dajjal, then it will mean most likely because he was instrumental in the creation of that powers with which man could then move so far. And that is nothing hard to understand, because if a person thinks that which powers have brought about the material to move man so fast from one distance to another distance, then he will find in the end of the day it was never a Muslim power. And which power has brought the ability for man to speak in one corner and be heard in another corner, then he will see it was never a Muslim power who did that. Certain narrations have mentioned that in the time of Dajjal, medicine will reach such a level that the efforts will be made a person who is born. Just before that, to understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever indications he made regarding the power of Dajjal, perhaps all of these indications or most of them, you will find that in a certain Nabi, that power was also found. As though Dajjal will want to bring within him all the miracles of the previous Anbiya to make his heart that I am the greatest. So the power which Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam showed in his time, where the small ant could speak and the wind would transfer the voice to his ears, or a man on the ground could speak and it would go right up to his arsh, and the movement of Sulaiman alayhi salam from one area to the other in such a fast time, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said the power of Dajjal will be that day also. To be able to speak and voice will be able to move, travel. And to be able to cross vast distances in a short period of time. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would cure the leper, a person who had white skin, whatever it's called in English today, abras, bars in Arabic. And he would put his hand over the person and the person's face complexion would come right. And someone who was born blind, he would pass his hand over and the eyesight would return. Certain narrations have indicated in the era of Dajjal, medicine will reach such a level where great efforts will be made to make the person born blind get his eyesight back. And the person who is a leper to remove that leprosy from him, that white leper. It is narrated in the hadith regarding Dajjal, سُخِّرَتْ لَهُ أَنْهَارُ الْأَرْضِ, that the rivers of the world will be tabi, subservient to him. As he wants the waters to move, he will be allowing it to move in certain directions. Meaning irrigation will be very, very easy for him, and presently in the world that is found, that every single river moves in directions which certain powerful people want it to move. The farmer wants the water to come this side, he allows it. Certain machines are put and water is pushed in this direction. Irrigation in the present time has reached such levels that practically water has come into man's power. And as time goes on, you will see more and more amazing things happening. وَثِمَارُهَا, the hadith has mentioned that the fruits of the land also will be tabi to him. Which a hadith has mentioned, يَأْمُرُ السَّمَاءَ فَتُمْطِرُ, he will order the sky and water will start coming down. And presently it is nothing hidden from any person who has gone into what modern technology has reached. That they have made the claim already that we are now able to gather clouds in certain areas and to contain the water within the clouds. And when we desire then to let the water start pouring. And most likely they are still experimenting, because of which you are finding weather patterns going haywire in the world. An alim of Pakistan wrote that the floods of Pakistan, which people were amazed of, he says when ulama looked at it, they said that this year is not Qudrati. Meaning Allah Tabarak Ta'ala himself, without any sabab, has not sent this down, but rather through a sabab of man, these floods have been caused. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has given man the power. And he says, it is our feeling that in certain circles, a ploy has been made to melt the ice which were on certain mountains in Pakistan, and to contain certain clouds. And then one time that ice was pushed to melt with whatever rays were sent onto it. And he says, the floods that we have seen, we really regard it to be a cause of, meaning Allah Tabarak Ta'ala's Qudrat, but through the hands of man. And it is nothing hidden now, day by day they are making more and more claims that we are able to gather the rain and bring it down where we want to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْأَرْضَ فَتُمْبِتْ, and he will order the earth and the earth will start taking out vegetation. And any person who knows of agriculture today also, and as time goes it will get even worse, will understand that nothing natural is ever grown anymore. But nowadays every farmer has to buy certain seeds, and on that seed then certain thing will grow. If you wish to plant in your small farm, you might plant natural, healthy. But where you buy from farmers and you buy in bulk, then it is nothing natural growing. It is a seed that can grow only once. When that fruit will come out, that seed that's in that fruit will never be used again. Now seeds will have to be repurchased again from certain sources. That seed's put in the ground. And thereafter the ground will start taking out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَيَمُرُّ بِالْخَرِبَ, and this we have seen with our eyes and you will continue seeing it, that he will pass by an open, deserted, uninhabited land. And how many lands there are like that in the world, whether it's the lands of the Arabian deserts, which no one ever stayed at, or certain lands in the deserts, in the Karoo, or certain places where no one was staying. Thereafter, فَيَقُولُ لَهَا, he will say to the land, أَخْرِجِي كُنُوزَكِ, that whatever treasures you have, take it out, and the treasures will then start coming out. And this is something that we have seen throughout, that where those treasures came out from the land, whether it was oil, then the treasures were there years and years, but no Muslim power ever managed to take it out. It had to be a certain company from certain countries who could go in that land, uninhabited. No one staying there, and suddenly the treasures started coming out. Whether they came to South Africa and they started taking out diamonds, started taking out gold, started taking out material, no Muslim power has ever gone into the sea and said, we hold the power in this. It has always been a evil power, the power whose job is to make sure they take over the resources of the world, they control the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَيَبْعَثُ مَعَهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that with him his shayateen will be sent. عَلَى سُورَةِ مَنْ قَدْ مَاتَ مِنَ الْآبَاءِ وَالْأُمَّهَاتِ وَالْإِخْوَانِ مَالْمَعَارِفِ, And they will come in the front of a person in the form of someone who had passed away. Either his brother, his father, his mother, someone he knows. And then فَيَأْتِي أَحَدُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ أَوْ أَخِيهِ. Then they will come to the person and they will say, أَلَسْتَ فُلَانَ أَلَسْتُ فُلَانَ. Am I not so and so person? Don't you recognize me? I'm your father. And he will be shocked. And he will say, Daddy, it's really you. And he will start talking. And in that day it comes and then this form will say, you know what, this man, please follow him, my son. And we might think perhaps this has not happened. But anyone who reads little bit will hear it has happened a lot in the world already. In Western circles it would be called at one time spirituality, spiritualism, where they would go into one room, and it happens in South Africa and many parts of the world, where they go into a room, there's an old woman maybe, and then she says to the person, do you want to speak to the soul of your grandfather? I can bring him here. And slowly, slowly, certain people have written, when asked why did they enter into this evil which is known as nowadays Freemasonry. So some of them have even written that someone approached me and said, the boss is looking for you. And I wanted to know, what is this boss story? And they mentioned all you have to do, and long story, but in the ending he said, I was brought in a room. And in the room then, from the wall, I saw my father coming through. And we had the chance to even touch fingers, and it was amazing. And then he said, I asked, Daddy, what should I do? And my father said, follow this man. Or enter into this group. And then he writes, after entering, there is no getting out now. So this thing is happening throughout the world, in big, big ways. Obviously, it don't happen with each one of us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned many powers of Dajjal, and any person who looks at it, he says, I have seen it already. And as time goes, with every day passing, you will see it more and more stronger. And you will understand, as my Nabi mentioned, what power Dajjal will hold. I am living in that power. And I am practically using that power myself. And it makes no question in my mind that how did they manage to get such a power? And why could it never be the Muslims who get this power? Why it had to be a non-Muslim force? And not so much a Christian force, but it had to be a Jewish force. It couldn't be a Hindu, it couldn't be a Sikh. But it had to be one lobby that was able to be the instrumental force behind all of these things. So if a person brings that question in his mind, and he looks at the ahadith, then he will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned Dajjal, then I am seeing Dajjal around me. Whether from an island he is teaching people to be able to do these things, or whether himself he is moving in the world and doing it, whichever method, but the fitna of Dajjal is around us. Thereafter, Hazrat Murana mentions, the time is up now, this will take a little explanation. Inshallah, in the future we will discuss this part, Mera Matlab, where he starts explaining now that when Dajjal will come, then to be able to bring these powers in front, what will he use, or why, what will Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala give him, that he will be able to make these things happen, which is mentioned in the ahadith, meaning able to make things come out from the ground, whether it's materials, whether it's minerals, whether it's fruits, and able to make water come down from the skies, and able to move through such distances, and able to speak and his voice is heard. So Hazrat Murana here mentions in the writings of the people of the past, that what power will he use to be able to bring this to the fore? Inshallah, that we will discuss in the future. Obviously, you must remember the whole maqsad of the series, that we start understanding the azmat of Surah Kahf. So it shouldn't be that this whole thing is mentioned and no one reads Surah Kahf. So at least 10 verses minimum, and whoever can read the whole surah, read the surah, make intention of yourself, intention of your family. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala, inshallah, in the qudrat of Quran, barakah of Quran, will protect many, many people.